The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
There are bans coming through, and more than 100,000 parishioners are expected to pass through here over this two-day celebration. You can just see all of the pilgrims that are lined up in front of the shrine right now.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome. It is great to be here with you this afternoon. It really is. That was a report from a Chicago affiliate, ABC 7, about festivities taking place at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Chicago. Why am I reporting on that? It's an interesting side note. You know, there is another shrine. There's a Shrine of our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. One of the most beautiful shrines I think I've been to in our country. Spectacular shrine. But here at that shrine in, I believe it's Des Plaines, Illinois, they estimate 300,000 people will make pilgrimage to that place. I was watching a little footage prior to the broadcast. I heard one person walked, I think it was 15 miles with their family on foot just to go there and to pray. So Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Chicago, hundreds of thousands are going to be celebrating this incredible feast of our Blessed Mother. And I invite you to join me today, too. Just a quick programming note. I'm going to be hopping in a car with Father Rocky. We're going to be taking off for the state of Indiana, where we are going to be at the Shrine of Christ's Passion. And there we're going to be praying the rosary tonight. He'll be praying the rosary across America. I'm going to join him live. We'll be on video. So check us out. I think it's going to be outside. In fact, it's going to be kind of cold, is what they're telling me. But I'll be co-anchoring the rosary with Father Rocky tonight. And today on the feast dedicated to Our Lady, just as a side note, and we'll pray the chaplet in an hour. But tonight, maybe you should join us as we pray. I hope you'll pray with me at 3. But pray tonight for family. You know, St. Juan Diego, who was ultimately canonized, what, 490-some years after those famous apparitions, he was known for his intercession in healing a suicidal man, somebody who had battled drug addiction, and a man who plunged to was supposed to be his death out of a second-story window, and his mother cried out to him, to Juan Diego to intercede, and indeed he did. It was a miraculous story. I will tell you more about it coming up, but if you got addiction in your family, if there's perhaps suicidal ideation or depression or anxiety, perhaps, you know, there's just division in the family. Maybe you're praying for life. She comes as the patroness of life, right? The mother of all of us. She says, "I am your mother," she said to Juan Diego, and she appeared in the Geo Center of the Americas. Perhaps pray for family tonight, for the healing of the family, for the blessing of family. So make tonight a big night. You can send me your prayer intentions if you want, and I am going to carry them with me. I'll take them to the Shrine of Christ's Passion tonight. You can email me, Drew@relevantradio.com, or just put them on our Twitter page, @DrewMarianiShow. Okay, and those intentions that come in, I will certainly pray for this evening. And just remind me, Patrick, remind me when Father's in to make note of that again so we can go ahead and do that. But I don't want to get too off tangent here. Just wanted to let you know what's coming up. Father Rocky will be stopping by in a little bit as well. I do want to talk about some other shrines, some nativity sets. The vandalization of Catholic churches continues, and it's on pace in our country. The latest target, as we know, is St. Joseph's Church in Downingtown, Pennsylvania, about 30 miles west of the city of Philadelphia. The pastor there is a priest by the name of Father Leyva, and he sent a letter out to his parishioners, and he said that the statues of St. Anthony, St. Joseph, Our Lady of Lourdes, and the Holy Family, they were all damaged. Fortunately, the outdoor nativity set, for some reason, was untouched, but he asked parishioners, this is what he said. He says, look, please keep the person responsible for this vandalism in your prayers. I mean, that's Christian charity, isn't it? I mean, it's so easy when we're wounded or hurt or somebody vandalizes or destroys or robs or steals something that is ours. We want vengeance. We want justice. We want retaliation. I know that's my first reaction. I'll be honest with you. That's my first reaction. And then I have to take my Christian heart. I've got to take that merciful perspective, and I got to do what Christ commanded us to do when he hung on a cross and offer, mercy. And not that I'm going to forget the act, but certainly have to pray for the person who's done this. And that's what this priest says. Would you please pray for the persons responsible for this vandalism in your prayers? We ask God to touch your hearts. And for ourselves, we just take a moment in our prayers to thank God for the opportunity to practice forgiveness. His mercy is unending. As Christians, we are called to forgive as he forgives. You know what I'm going to do tomorrow? Tomorrow after the chaplet, there's a great story. Kevin Turley, who's a great contributor to this radio program, wrote a wonderful piece I just saw about a woman who was part of the Nazi resistance. And she got captured and was tortured in horrible ways by a doctor who did all sorts of experiments on her. He destroyed her nervous system. There's much more to the story. I won't go into it now, but it took her almost 40 years to forgive, but she was able to do it. We are called to forgive. So we'll definitely take a look at that. I'd ask you to pray also for those in the state of Illinois. Their government there is tolerating the display of a satanic statue in its annual holiday displays at the Capitol building in Springfield, Illinois. Now, the nativity scene on display at the Capitol is adjoined by a display from Satanists. Yeah. Here's more from WBHF News in the Quad Cities. Check this story out. All right, well, Patrick, my board operator, gets that queued up for you. I'll just go back to what we were saying. Please pray. Pray for those people. The Daily Wire was reporting that the satanic display, it includes a leather-bound book that's emblazoned with the title Nicholas Copernicus, Revolutionary Book on the Revolutions of the Heavenly Spheres. And at the center of the display, they've got handcrafted knitted apples, a 12-foot snake, a serpent, you know, orbiting the book. And the idea, of course, is that Copernicus' discovery is somehow or other related to Eve taking the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, with implications that her taking the fruit was actually a good thing. You know, her disobedience to God was a good thing, right? That's what the Satanists want you to believe. That's what Satan wanted her to believe. Anyway, here's more on that story. Listen.
The First Amendment guarantees the right to freedom of speech and freedom of religion. The state also allows for those freedoms of expression. Any religious group can put a display in the Capitol during the holidays.
We like to see that this is an affirmation of our satanic values by existing in harmony with other religions.
Most of the Satanic Temple of Illinois' displays have involved the Snake of Genesis. This year's includes a twist, symbolizing a protest against the Catholic Church. Bishop Thomas Paprocki of the Springfield Diocese condemned the display, saying people are free to choose, but, quote, he prays for the conversion of sinners. Other religious leaders I spoke with say the freedom to express their beliefs is vital.
It's most important to utilize this freedom and to share that message of hope, to share that message of light and increasing light every night.
The satanic display is flanked by more traditional religious displays. The nativity scene is there to symbolize the meaning of Christmas, and the menorah is there to not only represent the Jewish faith, but also the core principles of Hanukkah. I spoke with people who say they appreciate each group having the chance to share its beliefs.
If they're allowing Christian, if it's equal, then I think you have to allow it.
It's certainly appropriate from my view. Whatever religion I am, I don't mind somebody else taking their views in a nice way.
Here's the thing. Go ahead and display it. You know, I don't agree with that. I think Satanism is radically different than any of the other monotheistic religions that'll be on display there. There is a difference, right? But I just look at this from a spiritual perspective. These are very lost individuals, right? Very deceived, and they are dabbling and have opened themselves up to some really, really dark forces. You know, when you worship Satan, you know, you open yourself up to not just obsession and oppression, but even possession. And you really got to be careful about, you know, the dealing with the occult in any way, let alone the Church of Satan. I mean, you are really, you've thrown up in a very dangerous door. Their display should be for all of us when we see it, even though we don't like it, an opportunity for us to pray for their conversion. It can be a reminder to do that. You know, how often do you pray for the Church of Satan and the conversion of Satanists or those in the occult? Probably as much as me, and that's not very much, right? Maybe around the Halloween or other times if I hear a story, something will come up, I'll say a prayer. But this is an opportunity for us to really pray for the conversion of those who are lost you know, who are worshiping on a pagan altar. And that's really what this is all about. So, you know, it's out. It's a reminder for me every time I hear stories like this or I see something like this, and I hope you do the same thing. Offer a prayer. Offer a sacrifice. All right? And I know God will hear those prayers. I have no doubt about that in my mind. There's going to be more attacks also on our faith after the passage of the so-called Respect for Marriage Act. I mentioned that briefly to you on Friday. You know, lawyers for organizations like Alliance Defending Freedom and the Heritage Foundation, they're out now saying, look, a lot of problems with this particular bill. One of the spokespeople from the ADF, they told the National Catholic Register that the guy's name was Matt Sharp. He says, look, faith-based organizations receiving any sort of government funding or participating in government programs, that can be interpreted to be acting under the control of the state and thus be required by the measure to recognize, you know, same-sex unions. And also, the bill said the bill's creation, he said that the bill's creation of a private right of action would give activist groups the ability to sue. This is the really an important part for me here. They could sue religious organizations over their beliefs about marriage. So you're going to see a lot more lawsuits. So what kind of effects will we see out of the Respect for Marriage Act? Here's what Mike Lee, he's a Utah senator, had to say.
For example, Catholic Charities and other religious adoption agencies could be shut out of foster care and adoption ministries due to discriminatory government policies, policies that discriminate against them specifically because of their religious beliefs. The bill will only exacerbate what's already occurring in Illinois, Massachusetts, California, and the District of Columbia, potentially making this a nationwide trend. We'll put religiously affiliated schools and faith-based organizations and others who hold traditional views of marriage at even more risk of being compelled to hire or retain employees whose conduct contradicts their religious beliefs. Wedding vendors will potentially be subject, because of this legislation, to increased lawsuits, harassment, and destruction of their livelihoods based on their religious beliefs and their desire to live their lives according to their beliefs. This includes small and family-owned businesses, including religious businesses like kosher caterers. Nonprofits face potential revocation of their tax-exempt status based on their religious beliefs. At a time that we've added 87,000 new IRS agents, we shouldn't give them any additional encouragement to abuse that power in a way that threatens the beliefs and institutions that are so important to so many Americans and form the bedrock of some of our most important institutions.
Like, this is a story that will continue to write itself. We'll have a lot to talk about in the days ahead. Again, that was the senator from Utah. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to change gears a little bit. I do want to talk about, I've shared this before, but I do want to play it for you again. Today, we celebrate the day in which Our Lady, she appeared to a young native called Juan Diego, and asked for a basilica to be built. Ultimately, an incredible miracle will take place as a sign to the bishop that these visions to this young man were indeed true. On this image, on this tilma that was ultimately given as a sign, there are musical notes that have been hidden. I've got to share the story. That's an amazing one. If you want to hear some celestial, some heavenly music, is it possible that this was a gift from heaven for all of us? In the Tilma are all sorts of mysteries that have defied the laws of science, and we're still just now unlocking as technology continues to advance. We'll talk about that and much more when I return.
Your Catholic voice lives here.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More information, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Desde el cielo una hermosa mañana. Desde el cielo una hermosa mañana.
guadalupana, la guadalupana, la guadalupana bajo el Tepeyac.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, happy feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, La Guadalupana. I hope I got the name right. It's a classic song. Don't you love it? If you ever travel to Mexico or South America, it's quite often sung in Spanish masses as well. You know, I just love it. Our Lady has a special place in her heart. For all of us here in the Americas, she appeared in 1531 in the Geo Center, in the very center of the Americas North and South. And it's an amazing story. I don't know if you're familiar with it. You just turn the hands of time back. Imagine you're a native peasant of Mexico back in the 16th century. You found the Catholic faith, right? You convert. You are on fire with the faith now. And you walk miles every day just to go to Mass. And that was the case with this young native named Juan Diego, would later become Saint Juan Diego. He would walk miles and miles just to go and receive our Lord truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, right? How often do you roll into Mass late or don't even go? This guy on foot would walk. He recognized what was truly present there. So he was walking along one morning in December to get to Mass for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception when all of a sudden he saw this lady in front of him, and she tells him, go to the bishop, ask him to build a chapel on the spot. I mean, imagine you're him. What would you do? What would you do? You know? And of course, St. Juan Diego had the good sense to follow Our Lady's instructions, and it's a good thing he did. Otherwise, the 9 million native Mexicans who converted would have been maybe left to their pagan ways. I mean, God works through us. We have free will. We can say yes or no. Juan Diego's story is an amazing one. You may not know all the details. I just broad brushed that in a very simplistic way, but my longtime friend and one of the nation's foremost experts on the message and the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Dan Lynch, he joins us hopefully in all the details, not only of the story of Juan Diego, but man, I'll tell you what, the fruit from the image that has been left behind is off the charts. Healings, conversions, all sorts of bizarre phenomena like lacrimations, heartbeats, rose petals. It's an amazing story. You're going to hear something you never heard. And in addition to that, we'll play for you some music that supposedly a mathematician discovered in the celestial configuration on this Thelma. But as I said, Dan Lynch, director of Jesus, King of All Nations Devotion. I hope you'll check him out at jkmi.com. Joins me right now. Dan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew, and hello to all our listeners out there in Relevant Radio Land. Happy Feast Day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I'll pick up the story from where you just left off. You said, Juan Diego said, well, what am I supposed to do? What would you do? Well, he asked for a sign. He told Our Lady, who asked him to have the bishop build a church, he said, he's not going to believe me. I need a sign. Give me something to show him. She said, all right, pick the blossoming roses. And these roses miraculously appeared on the hill in the middle of the winter. And Juan Diego was wearing what's called a tilma. It's a work garment, but it looks like a poncho. You put it over your head and it's down, and you can lift it up from the bottom and put things in it. So he lifted up, put all the roses in his poncho, and went off to the bishop. He tells the bishop this strange story, and the bishop says, oh, yeah, sure, you know. And then he says, wait, she gave me a sign. She gave me a sign. She wants you to build a church on Tepeyac Hill. Here's your sign. And he dropped his cloak. The roses fell to the ground. The bishop fell to the ground in tears. And Juan Diego said, what did I say? What did I do? Why is he crying? He looks at the cloak, and on the cloak, flashed onto it, was the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, just as he had seen her on Tepeyac Hill, exactly the same. It's the image of chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon at her feet, pregnant with child. This was what the image was on his tilma. So the bishop believes he took only 2 weeks to build the church that was requested of him. They had a wonderful celebration. All the Indians and the Native Americans and the Spanish who had conquered them came together in peace and harmony. There was reconciliation between them. And Our Lady appeared as a mestiza. That's a mixed race. That's a Spanish and indigenous race. They called her La Morenita, the little dark virgin, the brown virgin. And so they came into reconciliation. That was the beginning of the Mexican race, actually.
Wow.
So now they've got this church. The Indians are all happy because Our Lady said, I'm one of your own kind. Come to me. I'm your merciful mother, the mother of all those who love me, who have confidence in me. Send me all your petitions and I will help and heal you. Well, that was the beginning of her marvelous miracles. And because of the way she addressed herself to the indigenous people, they said she's one of our own kind. So they believed. They saw the image. They heard Juan Diego was preaching. They converted. 9 million Indians converted to Catholicism in the short period of 9 years. That's 1 million a year with only a few hundred Franciscan priests to baptize them. It was extraordinary. They may make treks from all over to Mexico City to be baptized. But that was the beginning of the faith in Mexico, and it's extended until this day. So that's the image that's there. That's called the Tilmet. In 1991, due to modern technology, they decided to have a replica made. The other past ones were just photographs. So they made an exact digital replica of the Tilmet, exact size. The size is 4 feet by 6 feet, or life size. And so it was exact size and the exact colors. And they only and St. John Paul II was there, and he blessed the main, what do you call the main, where it holds all the the pixels, I forget. The main thing that had the base replica. And from that, they only made 200 copies, which he had blessed from the main file. So one of them came to the, in 1991, to the International Rosary Congress in Washington, D.C. I went there. That was there. People loved her. They venerated her. Everyone was so happy. They wanted somebody to do something with it, and I volunteered. I was a lawyer. I said, well, I got an office. I got some help. And they said, okay, you can have her. And that was Our Lady's doing. I wound up with this image, and I said, what am I going to do with it now? I went home to my office in Vermont. I had tons of those pink slips in those days, phone calls that wanted her. Mm-hmm. I said, I can't do this. So what I did was I got local people to do it. We formed teams in all these parishes throughout the country. So she's been traveling now since 1991, this missionary image, it's the exact same size and color as the original in Mexico City, around the world. Once we went a whole around the world pilgrimage. And throughout Europe, the Philippines, Japan, I went on all these missionary journeys with her. Extraordinary, extraordinary miracles, which I could tell everybody about. And, you know, like the roses fell at the bishop's feet. Roses fell from this image when they processed it around abortion centers. I went to Ireland, and I led 10,000 people with Father Michael O'Carroll in the largest rosary procession ever in Ireland. And roses fell from the sky on different people throughout the procession. And she just kept up getting all these signs about life. One time I went back to Tepeyac Hill. That's where she appeared. And there's a Carmelite monastery there with Carmelite nuns. They invited me to come up. They wanted me to tell a story. They said they had a story that no one else believed in. So it was an extraordinary privilege. They're cloistered nuns. They let me in. They all sat around me, one looking at the other, all embarrassed and not talking. And I said, well, what's the story? So the Mother Superior said, we privately venerated the Tilmet. That's the original image, which is still with us today in the Basilica in Mexico City. We venerated that image, and Our Lady's womb began to contract as if she was in labor. This is what the Mother Superior said. And she said, every one of us, there were six of them, each one of us saw it, but we never said anything to one another because we thought we'd be laughed at. Finally, I brought it up and said it, and now I'm telling you so you can retell the story. This is how Our Lady is pregnant in the image.
All right. Let me stop you on that note, though. You're saying, and these are credible sources, because that's the first time I'm actually hearing this, a group of Carmelite nuns on Tepeyac Hill. Tepeyac is where the Virgin had actually appeared to Juan Diego. They saw in the image the womb contracting?
Yes. The image has a protective vault behind it. It's 35 feet in the air. So for the nuns, they brought it into the protective vault behind it. So they were like 3 feet away from it. They were right with the image. And very few people have ever been able to do that. And yeah, that's the story they told me.
Wow.
This is incredible. Amazing. It gets better. So the missionary image is this exact replica. We take her all over. The roses fell. Holy glitter falls from it. That's glitter. You know about Peter Pan and Tinkerbell, the glitter. This is sacred glitter. It's called escarchus. Scientists have investigated it, and they can't tell what it is. All they know is it's not plastic. It's not cheap stuff that you buy in the local Walmart or something like that. And they would just flake off the image when people venerated it. But more important is, hundreds and hundreds of people have felt a heartbeat on her womb in the missionary image. They put her hand on to venerate, and they go, what's that? Or it gets warm and hot, or they feel a little kick or something like that. And everybody says you're crazy, you know. So Jeanette Benkovic, Women of Grace from EWTN, she has the image every year at her conference. And she keeps records of all the women who feel the heartbeat. Wow. There's over 100 I know personally that signed this statement that they felt the heartbeat in the missionary image. And one time it was at a nursing home with a doctor, a female doctor. They said, why don't you put your hand on the image and see if you can feel a heartbeat? She said, oh, I'm not going to do that. So they said, okay, put your stethoscope on the heart of the image. She said, oh, that's crazy. They said, what have you got to lose? Do it. She goes up, very skeptical, puts the stethoscope on the womb of the missionary image and starts crying. Later she said she was crying because she doubted. She said, I heard a child's heartbeat as clear as a bell, you know. And she, I have pictures of it. Doubting going up to do it, and upon hearing it, falling to the floor in tears. So these are signs to build up our faith that it's life from conception, that Our Lady is the patroness of the unborn, Our Lady of Guadalupe. The name Guadalupe, she gave to Juan Diego's uncle. That's her a name of a Marian shrine in Spain. So she named herself after her own shrine in Spain, so the bishop would know and believe that it was really her, because nobody else even knew what the word Guadalupe was. So these things to build us up. And public witness, God wants public witness of our faith. One day I said, I think we should have processions and benedictions in front of abortion centers. But I said, who would do it? Well, I was in, Fargo, North Dakota. And I was there representing some, what we call rescuers in the rescue movement. They were all in jail because they blocked it, the abortion centers, to try to prevent the mothers from getting their abortions. So I went to the Bishop Sullivan. I went to his office, asked the secretary for an appointment. And she said, oh, he's just down the hall. I go, you mean I don't need an appointment? She said, no, he's just down the hall. Okay. I mean, I can just walk in? She goes, yeah, just walk in on him. I go down there, walk in on him. And this is how I said, right to eyeball without any introductions. I'm Dan Lynch. And I'm with Missionary Images and Related Guadalupe, which you know about. I was wondering if you would consider having mass and then processing the image through the streets of Fargo to that abortion center there, and then we'll have benediction in the street. Can you imagine that? He looks at me. I asked him to consider it. He looks at me and goes, yes, let's do it, Dan. I couldn't believe it. We got 1,000 people. We had mass, marched through Fargo, went and had benediction right in front of that abortion center, and then we continued that. And that's one time we've had many masses said in front of the abortion centers. Many, over 20 abortion centers have closed after visitations. We call them peaceful prayer presences. Right. After these visitations with the missionary image, they close. One, we went at night. We had the mass right out in front on the sidewalk at night. 3 weeks after that, it was burned down under strange circumstances. It wasn't arson. We had nothing to do with it. God allowed it to be burned up in fire. Yeah. So all these things are happening. And then the mothers start telling us about their healings and their changing their mind. One time I was preaching in a park in Chicago because Our Lady was appearing there, according to the local people. I was standing under the crucifix. This woman named Vicky comes by. She's about three to four months pregnant. I didn't know that. She told me that later. She comes walking by with her mother, and I'm preaching life, and the missionary image is there. And I'm pointing to this, and I said, she will stop abortion. Our Lady of Guadalupe will give people the grace to change their mind. And as I said it, she testified that her legs started knocking together. And Our Lady sat there, clear as a bell. She said, you are called to motherhood. Wow. So she changed. She talked. Her mother was Gary. Her mother said, I'm sorry. I didn't want you to hear this guy. I didn't know he was going to talk about life today. And she said, it's all right, Vicky said, I'm going to have the baby. And she did. And I went back 6 months later, and she had the baby baptized, and she brought the baby to me and showed me the baby. Wow. That was beautiful. These are all peaceful prayer presences. Unbelievable, the power of prayer. The missionary image with Father Frank Pavone. He's the national director, Priest for Life, okay? This is Helena. She's Hispanic. She's inside the abortion clinic. Like most of them, just dumped off by her boyfriend with $200 that he gave her for the abortion. No, they don't care. All they care about is killing. And the poor mother suffers all the consequences. There she is waiting inside the abortion clinic. And they always close the blinds up so you can't see outside or anything like that at all. So she just said, I wonder what's going on outside. She opens up the curtain a little bit. She goes, oh, it's Our Lady of Guadalupe. And there's a priest out there. What am I doing here? and she got the grace, which came from their rosaries, to get up, walk out there to Father Bowen and say, I'm not going to do it. And he said, God bless you. Long story short, he came back and baptized the baby. And what did they name the baby? Guadalupe, baptized by Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Peace for Life. All this because of praying the rosary outside this abortion center. Yeah. And we have to have faith that this can happen and that Our Lady is there with these people.
Yeah, but Dan, I know that, you know, when I was filming I was doing a documentary once on weeping icons and statues, you know, a film on these lacrimations. And I actually traveled to Vermont where you were located at the time. And you shared an amazing story of what happened one Christmas day with the missionary image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. You want to share that?
Yes, yes, sure. It was Christmas Eve. The missionary image was in the church. The priest is preaching. It's a full church. She's crying profusely. Everybody saw it in the congregation. Nobody denied it except one guy. I'll tell you what happened with him. So they're watching this crying. And the priest is, you know, he's reading the gospel. He was preaching, and he just stopped. He looked over to the image. He said, Our Lady of Guadalupe is crying on her son's birthday for all of her children who have no birthday because of abortion. There was only one doubter, and he went up after Mass. He spoke to me a couple of weeks later. He said, I searched for all of your pipes that you had to feed the water into that image. And he said, you made a believer out of me. There was nothing there. You know, they thought it was all trickery. How would we do trickery during the Mass or anything like that? Well, it came right from Our Lady's eyes. And we've seen that many occasions, her tears shedding over those eyes. The wonderful thing is to have these mothers converted from pro-abortion, healed from post-abortion traumatic syndrome, and renewed life and get a wonderful conversion. So I'm at a Chicago conference once. This young journalist comes up to me. She came there to check out the missionary image. Oh, what's this? What's this? And I'm trying to tell her, you know, she's a hotshot young journalist. And she said, can I interview you about this? I said, sure. I said, okay. So we went behind the stage. It was the big Marian conference in Chicago. And we had two chairs facing one another. So she's asking all these questions. So finally, in frustration, she said, tell me, Mr. Lynch, how can a picture stop abortion? I said, it's not a picture. It represents the presence of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the Blessed Virgin Mary. She's pregnant in this image. Anyone who looks at this image will be converted. They will reverence life. They will not destroy it and have it aborted. And as I said that, she literally just got crushed and then just bent over in tears, sobbing uncontrollably. Through the tears, she said, I had an abortion 10 years ago. You're the first person in the world that I've ever told. I don't know what I'm going to do. My boyfriend said he was a Catholic and he couldn't let his parents know that he got a girl pregnant. So he paid for it and I got the abortion. That's the familiar story, you know. She does it to please the boyfriend, who, of course, jilted her soon after that. Yeah. But in the course of her crying, I said, wait right here. There's something I can do for you that I can't do myself. She said, what's that? I said, I'm going to get a priest for you to confess. No, don't get a priest. No, I can tell you, but don't let me tell him. I can't tell a priest. I said, trust me. So I had to sit down. I went out to the audience, and there's a priest there. I grabbed him. I told him the story. I said, she had an abortion 10 years ago. She's never been to confession or anything like that. So he goes in, and she testified. She said he was the sweetest priest. Wow. He heard my confession. She went out to communion for after that. So it was her first Mass and communion, confession and communion in 10 years. Since she had had the abortion, and she was just totally, totally elated and converted. She went into youth ministry for Catholics. She thought, like many aborted women think, that God's going to punish them and she won't be able to have a child again. So she got pregnant, she got married and pregnant, and the doctor told her, you're going to miscarry, the baby won't survive, your liver, your placenta is misplaced, and there's no way it can be. And she showed her the sonogram. So she immediately called our office up in Vermont. Pray for my baby. Pray for Our Lady of Guadalupe. Pray. I want to save this baby. We said, okay, we'll pray. So we prayed continually over the next few days, next month, actually. She went back to her doctor, and the doctor came out shaking. She said, something's really wrong and different here. And she said, what? She said, the placenta has found its place, but it's impossible. It's scientifically inexpossible. This is a miracle. Hallelujah. The baby was born. She gave birth to the baby very happily, no deficits whatsoever. And then next year, it gets even better. She wanted to have another baby, but she couldn't conceive. So she was practicing natural family planning. And she called our office up and said, pray with me a novena to Our Lady of Guadalupe that I can get pregnant. So our office did. Every day for 9 days, we prayed, Our Lady of Guadalupe, help her to conceive. On the last day, a novena is 9 days. On the ninth day, she called up and had a positive pregnancy test.
Wow.
And had the baby and gave birth. So this is all what could happen here. She was all cured from traumatic stress syndrome. She was a youth minister. Now she's a principal of a Catholic school, and she's the coordinator of all the visitations throughout the country and the world of the missionary image of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
God is amazing.
That's how Our Lady picks these people.
So as my guest today is Dan Lynch. He's actually served for years as the guardian of the missionary image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. If you're just joining us, we were honoring Our Lady today in a special way. It is the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the patroness of the Americas North and South. And we can take a few of your phone calls when I come back. If you want to join us, the number's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. But I also want to talk just a little bit about the tilma itself and some of the scientific discoveries have been found in it. But before I do, Dan, I don't know if you know this or not. I had heard earlier today there was an earthquake in Mexico City where the, you know.
Yes, I saw that this morning.
No damage has been reported. The U.S. Geological Survey said that the magnitude 6 quake struck about 2 miles, you know, westward of the area. But I just found that striking because I remember I was so disheartened when Mexico, Mexico legalized abortion. And I just thought, man, here Our Lady came to vanquish this culture of death, right? Yep. And here they are once again, you know, resurrecting the ancient serpent and that ancient Holocaust. There's also a story.
On that day, Drew, on that day that they legalized abortion in Mexico City, Our Lady manifested a glowing light of a fetus in the womb of the tilma. Everybody, hundreds and hundreds of people saw it. Wow. She's saying to the people is, this is what you're talking about. Yeah. This is life. This is what you're talking about, an abortion. But I'd like to tell the story of a converted abortionist who Our Lady spoke to personally at the Basilica.
I'll tell you what, hold that thought, Dan, because I've got to take a short pause here. When we come back, we'll pick it up on that. What an amazing story. Again, the image of Our Lady Guadalupe, this tilma that was given to this young Native American. This Aztec, I don't know. I think he was Aztec, wasn't he? He probably wasn't. Dan corrected me on the point.
He was Chichimeca. They were a friendly tribe. They were a good tribe.
So it hangs in the Basilica down there in Mexico City, so everyone could see it. I'm just struck by your story that when Mexico legalized abortion, the very belly where and Our Lady, there's some symbolism in the image. Of course, there's a black ribbon around her waist that's been tied, and it communicated to the Aztecs at the time that she was pregnant. That womb glowed. That's an amazing story. There was a light on her womb that day. Dan, when we come back, I want to hear the story of the conversion of the abortionist, and we can talk a lot more. If you want to get in, I only have my guest maybe 10, 15 more minutes. The number's 888-914-9149. Our conversation continues right after this.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters, flexible premium life insurance. You know, for less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The hope lives here. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, the chaplet's coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We'll certainly pray and we'll invoke the powerful intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe today. Just giving you a look at not just the story. It's a fascinating story. If you've missed it, you don't know it, you can always revisit this conversation a little bit later or just do a quick search. It's an amazing, amazing tale. But my guest today, Dan Lynch, he's a gifted author, an attorney, a judge. He's the director of the Jesus King of All Nations Devotion. You can check him out at jkmi.com. I'm sure there's a ton of resources there that you can get plugged in to learn more. We were just talking about, you know, some of the fruit. I mean, when heaven wants to communicate to us, it doesn't hold back. And, you know, we're talking about a time in which, you know, human sacrifice was rampant, just like our own time, right? You're talking about 16th century Mexico. Today, we see this culture of death alive and well. What happened? God sent Our Lady. She vanquished this demonic demon, left a great gift for the human race. And we are seeing, as Dan was sharing, conversion stories. We're hearing stories of light emanating from the womb, the day that Mexico City, you know, legalized abortion. Carmelite nuns on Tepeyac Hill watching the Virgin's womb contract in the image. We are talking about hearing heartbeats from medical doctors, from physicians putting stethoscopes up to the image. It's an inanimate object. You shouldn't hear any heartbeats in it, right? We're hearing amazing stories of abortion clinics changing and people being healed from the wounds of their abortion. There's one more story Dan wanted to share with you. It's a powerful one. It's a conversion of an abortionist through Our Lady and this missionary image. And Dan, let me bring it back to you. I mean, there's so many stories you've shared. I think they're all fascinating. This is a great one as well.
Well, thanks for having me back, Drew. Yes. So this, we have the missionary image, as which I explained, it's a full-size replica of the original miraculous image, which still exists. That's a miracle. 500 years old. It should have lasted only 20 years. It's still hanging in the Basilica in Mexico City. So we have the full-size missionary image, and we're going to have a procession inside this church. It was packed. He came up to me and says, I'm a doctor. He wasn't a doctor. He was an abortionist. He said, I'm a doctor. Is it okay if I help carry this? I said, sure. So he's carrying it. After the mass, he came up to me and said, I was really touched by carrying that, Mr. Lynch. He said, I'm going to make a personal pilgrimage down to Mexico City to see the real tumor. I said, good, have a great pilgrimage. So he goes down to the pilgrimage and comes back. He relates to me the story. He goes into the pilgrimage. The tumor, the original image, is hanging at like 35 feet in the air, so it can't, you know, one time they tried to destroy it with a bomb, so it's protected up there. He said, I'll go early in the morning before the crowd comes, and I'll just stand there and look at it. So he goes in there. There's nobody around, no noise, and he hears this beautiful feminine voice say, why are you hurting me? He goes, what's that? What's that? He thought it was a radio or something like that. He looks, going around and looking. There's no people there. There's nothing happening. He goes back again and says, well, I'll just go back and look at the picture. Why are you hurting me? Just like that, severely, okay? It's like Jesus when he appeared to St. Paul. He said, why are you hurting me? St. Paul wasn't hurting Jesus. He was hurting all the people of the church. This doctor was not hurting just Our Lady. She was hurting all of her daughter children by abortion. So that's what she meant. Why are you hurting me? So he figured that out himself. He said, well, yeah, I'm hurting her. I'm hurting women. And he was, and he knew it. How can he deny his conscience? So he goes home. He cold turkey, stops his practice, leaves his firm, his medical office. Partners, they said you can't be a pro-life doctor. You're going to go out of business. So he goes over. He sets up and faces this little doctor's office called Tepeyac Medical Center in honor of Tepeyac Hill, where Our Lady appeared. He became a 100% pro-life doctor. The mothers love him because he encourages them. He helps them. He cares about them. He's not a machine doctor, you know. So he's still very active, very happy, and very holy. So if we have faith and hope in Our Lady of Guadalupe, we can trust her that she's going to respond to our faith. All these stories that I'm telling here are all on my website, jkmi.com, which is Jesus King Missionary Image. I have a book, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Mother of Hope. I made a professional DVD, which is shown on EWTN often, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Hope for the World. It has all these stories. It has the witnesses. And when I told the story about the woman who was healed from post-abortion traumatic syndrome at the conference I was at, she's testified. She's on a video on my homepage. You go to jkmi.com, just scroll down to the bottom of the testimony, you can see this beautiful young lady in there telling you her story, how Our Lady of Guadalupe helped her to convert and to be pro-life. And I just want to get a note out there for mothers who have had abortions, who feel that there's no hope, that there's no mercy for them, right, that they're doomed. They won't be able to have another child. All these things that the devil says. Right. Here's the voice of St. John Paul II. I would now like to say a special word to women who have had an abortion. The church is aware of the many factors which may have influenced your decision. And she does not doubt that in many cases it was a painful and even shattering decision. The wound in your heart may not have healed. Certainly, what happened was and remains terribly wrong. But do not give in to discouragement and do not lose hope. Try rather to understand what happened and face it honestly. If you have not already done so, give yourselves over with humility and trust to repentance. The Father of mercies is ready to give you his forgiveness and his peace in the sacrament of reconciliation. To the same Father and his mercy, you can with sure hope entrust your child. With the friendly and expert help and advice of other people, and as a result of your own painful experience, you can be among the most eloquent defenders of everyone's right to life. Through your commitment to life, whether by accepting the birth of other children or by welcoming and caring for those most in need of someone to be close to them, you will become promoters of a new way of looking at human life.
Wow,
that's what we need.
Thank you for sharing that. My guest, Dan Lynch. Dan, before we go, I have a couple moments left. There's so much we did not talk about. The image itself, which, as you pointed out, it's made of cactus fiber, should have decayed 30, 40, 50 years, has survived almost 500 years now. It's been pretty amazing. And there's been things that we're discovering, like we have in the Shroud of Turin, images in the eye. There's been studies done on the eye that detect when the eye is exposed to light. You know, the retina contracts, or they found reflections of those that were in the room when this image was exposed, almost as though it was a photograph, kind of got captured. Fill us in on some of those, if you could, and the mysteries that were still seem to be revealed.
Well, the eyes are the most important one. Jose Tonsman, a retired IBM engineer, blew up the eyes of the original film, the original image, which just flashed as a miracle onto this cheap cactus cloak, and it's still there. He blew up the eyes 2,000 times and discovered in the eyes 13 people. It was the people who were in the room with the bishop when Juan Diego dropped his cloak. Now, get this. It's taken from the perspective of somebody. When you look at somebody's eyes, you see a reflection in those eyes, okay? Well, she was looking at them, and they all reflected in her eyes, in the image. I mean, it's fantastic. It's proven scientifically. And you can see the pictures of it. You can see the bishop. You know, remember, Juan Diego's got his cloak down. He's looking at the bishop, and there's a family, and there's the bishop's translator. And Our Lady's looking at them from her image. And all their faces and everything come into her eyes, and they're there today to see it. It's wonderful. All these are signs to help us to believe her message, which her message is life. She's called the patron of life, you know. She wants people to come to her, any kind of trouble. I'm your merciful mother, the mother of all those who live in this land and of all those who have confidence in me. And I will show and demonstrate my powerful help for the protection if you have faith in my help. She's an intermediary to God. She doesn't do anything herself. She pleads your plea to God. Yep. She's your intermediary, your intercessor. Yep. Have faith in her, Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us. That was well said. Dan, I got to leave it right there. The chaplet of Divine Mercy is straight ahead. When I come back, before I pray the chaplet, I'll share with you another scientific discovery that's been revealed on the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, supposedly musical notes found on the hem of this garment. That's coming right up. But Dan, I hope people will check out all the stories. They can find that at your website, jkmi.com. Dan, thank you for being here. It's always great to talk with you.
Thank you. Okay, but your great work, especially that Chaplet of Mercy, Drew, that's wonderful, wonderful fruits from that. God bless you.
Amen to that. Dan, I'll remember your intentions with mine as we pray the chaplet coming up. Thanks for being here. All right, chaplet is straight ahead. I'll share this music. Got a lot to talk about. Stay with me.